know you're healed this morning. I'm healed. When you get my age, even if you're not physically healed, it's good to know that the spirit is still strong. Amen? Most of y'all are much younger than I, so you may not know what I'm talking about. But there's some truth to the scripture that says the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. This morning's message comes from the book of 1 John. I want to say thanks to the praise team members and to the musicians. They always bless me. I don't know about you, but music has ways of touching the heart that sometimes many other medium do not. And hopefully it touches your heart in a way that allows your heart and mind to be open for the preached word. Amen? Let us pray. Dear Heavenly God, loving Father, kind and generous Master, we thank you for all that you do and all that you have done. We ask that you would simply open the hearts of your people so that the seed of the word that goes forth would be deeply planted, and that it would take root and bring forth fruit 30-fold and 60-fold and 100-fold. And God, we ask that you hide me behind the cross so that your word will go out and accomplish every purpose for which you send it. And we ask it all in Jesus' precious name. Let everyone say, amen. Scripture, let's stand for the reading of the word. The scripture today is found again from 1 John chapter 4, verses 1 through 4. If you need a Bible, there should be a Bible either under your seat or in the seat in front of you. And in your Antioch Community Church Bibles, it's on page 856. Page 856, 1 John chapter 4, verses 1 through 4. If you have it, say, thank you, Jesus. If you need a little more time, say, hold on. All right. 1 John chapter 4, verses 1 through 4, and the passage reads on this wise. Dear friends, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. Because many false prophets have gone out into the world. This is how you can recognize the Spirit of God. Every spirit that acknowledges that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. But every spirit that does not acknowledge Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard is coming and even now is already in the world. You, dear children, are from God and have overcome them, because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Once again, good morning, Merry Christmas, and God bless you all. I want to take you on a short trip in pop music history and test your memory just a little bit. In April of 1965, many of you were not born yet, including my dear wife. In April of 1965, singer Jackie DeShannon released a popular song composed by the dynamic duo of popular songwriting, Hal David and Burt Bacharach. Anybody heard of David and Burt Bacharach? They've written a ton of songs. This song was called What the World Needs Now, and it peaked at number 7 on the Billboard Hot 100 chart in July of 65. That song was first offered to Dionne Warwick. Dionne Warwick, who had a very long and fruitful musical relationship with Bacharach and David. But she initially turned it down. She turned the song down. However, she did record it a year later, and it appeared on the same album as the smash hit Alfie from the movie, which was also written by Hal David and Burt Bacharach. Anybody here remember What the World Needs Now? Anybody know that song? For those of you who never heard it, the refrain goes something like this. What the world needs now is love, sweet love. It's the only thing that there's just too little of. What the world needs now is love, sweet love. No, not just for some, but for everyone. Familiar? Most of y'all seem to know it. But if you listen to the lyrics, they're thought-provoking. Thought-provoking lyrics, aren't they? How fitting they are more than 50 years later. They're particularly appropriate when we consider the sheer volume of unloving and unlovable ugliness and cruelty in our world today. And you don't have to search very hard or very far to find it. Just turn on your TV set or surf the internet and ugly will smack you right in the face, whether you're looking for it or not. What the world needs now is love, and it's so very true, isn't it? It's so very true. Our world especially needs the love of God through Jesus Christ right here and right now. And if I had to characterize the central message or the basic theme of the book of 1 John in just three sentences, it might go something like this. God is light and love. God is light and love. Jesus is God's Son, our loving Savior, and His Holy Spirit lives in everyone who believes in the Son. And third, believers, those who believe in Jesus, will walk in God's light, loving Him, obeying His commands, and showing love to one another. That's it. Now, I'll admit, those last two sentences are kind of long, but you get the gist, right? You get the point. God is love. Jesus is His Son. The Holy Spirit lives in us. And if you really love the Lord, you'll keep His commandments. Seems pretty simple, right? John's message of love is clear and plain. And I encourage you to read 1 John and see for yourself if my summary is correct. 1 John is a short little book, just five brief chapters, less than four pages long. You can read it in a few minutes. You can read it in a few minutes. But be forewarned, it is incredibly powerful. It's spiritual dynamite. It is action-packed scripture for your soul. And you may find yourself reading it again and again because it's chock full of familiar passages and memory verses. And John's point is crystal clear. So put me to the test. Read it for yourself. Our text says, test the spirits to see whether they are from God. That's sound advice from the Apostle John, who was beloved by Jesus and who wrote five New Testament books, the Gospel of John, 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, and the book of Revelation. Most of today's supporting scriptures are going to come from John's writing. Not quite all, but most of them. 3 weeks ago, if you recall, I preached from the Gospel of John, and my title was, Do Even Greater. Today, this morning, I'd like to continue to mine spiritual gems from John's rich biblical vein. And in that vein, today's title is, He is Greater. Say it with me, Antioch. He is greater. He is greater. And I have 4 points, not three this morning, but four. 4 points in exposition of the text. My first point, point one is, good. Test what you see and hear. Is Jesus in it? The text says test the spirits. So test what you see and hear. Is Jesus in it? The first verse of our text makes a profound statement concerning how we must be alert and on our guard about what enters our eyes and ears and gets into our minds. He says, dear friends, don't believe all people who say that they have the Spirit. Instead, test them. see whether the spirit they have is from God, because there are many false prophets in the world. That's the first verse from God's Word translation. In short, as believers, we have to take much of what we see and hear with not a grain of salt, but rather a large portion of salt. You can use an entire blue canister of Morton's with the umbrella girl and pour it on most of what you see and hear. Be wary. Be skeptical. Be critical. Be dubious. Test the spirits. Test the spirits. Why? It's because there's a lot of spiritual pollution in the atmosphere. Don't breathe it in. There's a lot of spiritual ugliness in the atmosphere, and you don't want to take that stuff in. Turn it off. Get away. So the Apostle John says there are many false prophets in the world, and John is being polite about it. He's putting it nicely. If John were writing today, he might say, there's a whole lot of junk peddlers out there. Okay? There's a whole lot of junk peddlers out there. And they're vying for your attention. They want to get your attention. No, it isn't just the obvious garbage that we see on television masquerading as news. It's not only the trashy internet or the blood and gore rubbish that we see at the box office or even shamelessly filthy song lyrics. Those things we should obviously be on high alert for, because the ubiquitous media has become a toxic soup of immorality. The media that's everywhere, you can't get away from it. It's become toxic to our spiritual senses. Anybody know where I'm going with this? Bottom line is, ingest too much of it and it'll make you spiritually sick. Ingest too much of it and it'll make you spiritually sick. Plus, it's broadcast 24 hours a day, 7 days a week as breaking news, up close and personal, direct from the White House, and constantly right in your face. So if you're not on your guard, if you're not wary of this sort of thing, if you're not watching out for these kinds of things, well then, brother or sister, you should be. You ought to be. But the irony is this. The irony is Jesus' beloved Apostle John. John was kind of like Jesus' little brother. Even on the cross, Jesus says, "Woman, behold thy son." He's speaking to Mary. And then he says to John, "Son, behold thy mother." And the Bible says from that day forth, John took Mary into his house. So he was like Jesus' little brother. And even the Apostle John, he's not talking about the media. Obviously, that hadn't come yet at his time. But what he's talking about are so-called Christian ministers, pastors, and teachers. He's saying we have to be skeptical and dubious and doubtful and test what we hear from folks who are claiming to be believers. Okay. Maybe I'm saying it in English and it's coming out in Greek. We have to test what's coming out from folks who say that they're faithful. Now, that's a very scary warning, isn't it? You would think that the faithful could trust in what comes over the air on Daystar or the Christian Broadcasting Network or on Christian radio or even what we hear from the pulpit, right? Wrong. You can't trust it. John gives us the litmus test for even those quote-unquote reliable sources. He says, this is how you can recognize God's Spirit. Every person who declares that Jesus Christ has come as a human has the Spirit that is from God. If Jesus isn't in it, you ought to have some, it ought to raise your eyebrows, right? Any spiritual message which Christians hear or see ought to have Christ as a focal point. Hear Jesus' very own words that he spoke to the disciples. He says, if you really know me, you will know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Don't you believe that I am in the Father and that the Father is in me? The words I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but rather it is the Father living in me who is doing the work. Believe me when I say that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, or at least believe on the evidence of the works themselves. That's the Gospel of John, chapter 14, verse 7 and verses 10 through 11. If you don't believe when I tell you that I'm in the Father and the Father's in me, then just believe it based on the miracles that you've seen. The lame are made to walk. The dead are risen from the grave. The blind are made to see. If you can't believe that, what you see with your own eyes, then there's really not much hope for you anyway, right? So the first test of any religious doctrine or any spiritual lesson ought to be, is Jesus in it? If you don't hear anything about Jesus coming to earth as God's only son, if you don't hear about him shedding his blood and dying on the cross at Calvary to redeem our sins and the sins of all humanity, if you don't hear something about Jesus rising from the grave on the third day to give his followers new and unending life in him, then something is very wrong. If Jesus is not included in the message, then it's not the Spirit of God speaking, and it fails the test. Test the spirits. Test the spirits. Is Jesus in it? My second point. Test what you see and hear. Is it scriptural? First thing, it ought to have Jesus in it. Second thing, it ought to be scriptural. The second criterion for testing anything and everything we ingest into our spirit is, does it agree with God's word? Does it agree with God's word? Is the teaching rooted in the scriptures? Does it emphasize obedience to his commandments? Does it emphasize obedience to God's commandments? Oh, amen, lights. Can anyone build a sound spiritual house except that it be built upon a solid biblical foundation? The answer is no. So if you're asking these questions about what you hear and what you see, and the answer is no, then beware. That message is flunking the test. If it doesn't have its base rooted in scripture, that message does not pass the test. It's not from God. It's not for you. And John puts it this way. He says, and we can be sure that we know him if we obey his commandments. If someone claims, I know God, but doesn't obey God's commandments, that person is a liar and is not living in the truth. John's pretty straight with the words here, right? That person is a liar and is not living in the truth. But those who obey God's word truly show how completely they love him. That is how we know we are living in him. And those who say they live in God should live their lives as Jesus did. Those who say they live in God should live their lives as Jesus did. 1 John chapter 2, verses 3 through 6. And that's from the New Living Translation. So this passage, these three verses speak to both the message and the messenger. What it's saying is Christians should expect a sermon which aligns with godly principles. Amen? If the text of what you're hearing is from the first chapter of change your hairstyle, change your life, that's probably a red flag. Or if the message is live your best life now, buy my book and learn how, the spirit of that for-profit sermon is not godly. It gets an F for faithlessness. Live your best life now. Yeah, some of y'all may have, I know I've heard about a book called Live Your Best Life Now. Now, it doesn't say buy my book and learn how, but it might as well. That's a message that is for the profit of the author and not from God. It gets an F for faithlessness. It doesn't pass the test. Moreover, believers, so the first thing is you should expect that the message is rooted in the scripture, and believers can expect that the preacher should be living by those godly principles as well. All right? The message should be godly. The messenger should be godly. Now, this is not to say that every minister will be perfect, right? Every minister is a human being, and we are all subject to error. So we're not perfect, far from it. There was only one perfect human, and he was the Son of God. He was 100% human and 100% God, and his name is Jesus Christ. That said, pastors are human, but they can't preach on Sunday and live like the devil Monday through Saturday. Amen? Amen. I won't mention any names. I don't need to. But I'm sure each and every one of you can think of an example or two of preachers, maybe folks with big mega churches, who have lived less than godly lives. I'm sure you can. So verse 3 says, but if someone claims to be a prophet and does not acknowledge the truth about Jesus, that person is not from God. Such a person has the spirit of the Antichrist, which you heard is coming into the world and indeed is already here. Verse 3 from the New Living Translation. So test the spirits. Test the spirits. Is Jesus in it? Is it based on Scripture? Now, a word of warning. In order for us to administer the Scripture test, whether it's applied to the sermon or to the preacher, you have to know God's word for yourself. Enough said. Third point. The third point is stand boldly against anything that fails the test. Stand boldly against anything and anyone that fails the test. The Apostle Peter warned the faithful in the first century about the devastating impact of wicked teachers on the church. And he says, but false prophets also arose among the people, just as there will be false teachers among you who will secretly bring in destructive opinions. They will even deny the master who brought them, bringing swift destruction on themselves. Even so, many will follow their licentious ways, and because of these teachers, the way of truth will be maligned. And in their greed, they will exploit you with deceptive words. In their greed, they'll exploit you with deceptive words. That's 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 through 3 from the New Revised Standard. So every believer, clearly, every one of us, every saint, everyone who tries to follow in the path of Jesus Christ has a duty to do what? To call out, to resist, and to rebuke anyone who comes in any name other than our Lord Jesus Christ. And we must be equally adamant about opposing what Peter calls destructive opinions. Why? It's because if you're not vigilant, if you're not watchful, if you're not paying attention, then you might just be exploited by someone who's trying to sell you a bill of goods. If you're not watchful, you could be exploited. And that's what Peter is saying. Some people, even in the church, are going to get exploited because they're not watching. So if you don't know his commandments, if you don't know God's word for yourself, if you aren't being regularly refilled and refreshed through prayer and Bible study and regular worship, if you're not getting fed with theologically sound preaching and teaching, then you're a potential target for religious predators. A potential target for religious predators, excuse me. How tragic, how unfortunate. What a catastrophe it is that so many have been led astray by silver-tongued deceivers who have misused, manipulated, or downright ignored God's word for their own gain. I know y'all have seen them. They're all over TV, right? As the Apostle Paul said, so if you think you are standing firm, be careful that you don't fall. Be careful that you don't fall, because they're out there. They're out there as a ravenous, roaring lion waiting to see who they can devour. And they're not from God. By the way, that's 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12. And if Peter and Paul and the Apostle John had these serious concerns about the first century church, how much more grave and serious are those concerns in the 21st century? The false teachers are out there. The snake oil salesmen are out there. The peddlers of error are out there, and they want to trap you, and they're in the church. They're on Daystar. They're broadcasting their stuff, and if you're not careful, you'll be taken in going, that sounds good, that sounds right. But if it doesn't match up to this, if Jesus isn't in it, reject it, call it out, rebuke it. Because it's toxic to your spiritual soul. It's poisonous. So my friends, upholding what is right and godly, and conversely standing against whatever is not, is a matter of spiritual self-preservation. It's your own soul that you're preserving here, your own consecration, your own walk. Christian lives matter. Christian lives matter. Y'all have heard Black Lives Matter, Blue Lives Matter, Green, Orange. Christian lives matter. And how you live your life matters too. How you live matters. Nobody said that following in Jesus' footsteps was going to be easy, but we've got to stand strong because our sanctification, our consecration, our lives are worth fighting for. Isn't your life worth fighting for? So don't forget, never forget that our Lord is coming back real soon and his reward is in his hands. The heavenly prize awaits those who endure to the end. The Bible says, he that endures to the end, the same shall be saved. He doesn't say he that gave up 10 yards from the finish line shall be saved. He that got halfway shall be saved. No, he that endures till the end. You got to stick to it. You got to stand strong and finish the race. Jesus says, to those who are victorious, I will give the right to sit with me on my throne, just as I was victorious and sat down with my Father on his throne. Revelation 3:21. If you finish, you can sit next to Jesus. Now, does anybody want a seat next to Jesus for eternity? I know I do. There's an old song that says, I'm going to sit at the welcome table one of these days. I want to sit next to Jesus. I don't have to ask him a thing. I can just say, thank you, Lord, I'm here. You've been so good, I made it. I want to sit on that throne. Well, then what we got to do is stand boldly. Stand boldly, my brother. Stand boldly, sister. Don't you give up. Don't give in. Stand up, stand still, and stand strong. As Donnie McClurkin sang, after you've done all you can, you just stand. After you've done all you can, then just stand. Stand. My fourth and final point, I'm almost done, y'all. You can do greater because the God in you is greater. You can do greater because God in you is greater. Verse 4 of our text says, and this is in God's Word translation, dear children, you belong to God. So you have won the victory over these people, the Antichrist, the false teachers, the snake oil peddlers. You've won the victory over these people because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. Verse 4. Now, in case you weren't listening, that was your hallelujah moment. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Antioch, you'd be hard-pressed to find a verse that is more inspiring than 1 John chapter 4, verse 4. Greater is, you have overcome these folks because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Every saint, every believer ought to memorize that verse because it tells you who you are and whose you are. Amen? It tells you who you are and whose you are. It says, you are God's daughter. You are God's son. You are spiritual royalty. You're a child of the King, and Jesus Christ, the Prince of Peace, is your big brother. What's more, the victory over sin and death is already yours. The victory over sin and death is already yours. The battle was fought at Calvary, and the enemy is defeated. We sing a song, we're blessed. For the devil is defeated and we are blessed. For the devil is defeated. He was already defeated on Calvary. Jesus paid it all. All to him we owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, but he washes us white as snow. And you are an overcomer because the Holy Spirit lives in you. Hallelujah. You are an overcomer because the Holy Spirit lives within you. Listen to what Jesus says to his disciples. He says, if you love me, keep my commands. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate. He'll give you another helper. He'll give you the Holy Spirit to help you and to be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. That's Gospel of John chapter 14, verses 15 through 17. You know him. The world doesn't know him. The world can't follow him because it has no idea about the Holy Spirit. But you, believer, you saint, you follower of Jesus, You know him because he lives here. Oh, hallelujah. I'm so glad the Holy Spirit lives here, because without him, I would fail. Every believer in Christ has Holy Ghost power. Each of you has Holy Ghost power, marvelous power, transformative power, dynamic, miraculous, wonder-working power. How many know that song? There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood. Yes, you've got the power. Within you there is strength to live upright, to follow God's commandments, and to stand boldly for Jesus as your Lord and Savior. The power of the Holy Spirit gives you unlimited access to the Father. Now that's a big one. The Holy Spirit gives you unlimited access to the Father. John said it best. He says, "And how bold and free we then become in his presence, freely asking according to his will, sure that God is listening." Sure that he's listening. And if we're confident that he's listening, we know that what we've asked for is as good as ours. Anything you ask in my will, in my name, I will give to you. That's a promise. That's 1 John chapter 5, verses 14 and 15 from the Message. Therefore, as followers of Jesus, we are without excuse. There's no reason not to live an abundant life, because the Father's Holy Spirit lives in us, and we're enabled to imitate Christ in everything we think and everything we say and everything we do. Now, will we always? Of course not. Certainly not. We're human. And we will yield to the temptations that most often begin in our own minds. But the Holy Spirit, even then, will convict us and lead us to repentance and to forgiveness and set us back on the narrow path of righteousness if we let him, if we listen to him, if we follow the leadings of the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit pricks your heart, pay attention, because he's trying to get you to get back on the right path. Most of the time, we know that we've messed up. You know, we know it. But the Holy Spirit is there to say, yeah, you messed up, but I'm still with you. I still love you. Your Father, your Heavenly Father still loves you. Just confess. One of the verses in 1 John is, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And he says, if we say we have no sin, then we are liars and God is not in us. So all we have to do is admit it, to be sorry. God, I'm sorry. Forgive me. And it's like it never happened. Our sin is cast into the sea of forgetfulness. That's a mighty good God, wouldn't you say? That's a mighty good God. Whatever we ask is as good as ours. And the Holy Spirit is within us to set us back, to get us back to the right path, if we'll just let him. Amen, saints. Hallelujah. We have the power. You can do greater because the God in you is greater. So here are my final things. So test the spirits. Be sure your spiritual waiter is serving up a heaping helping of Jesus as the main dish with plenty of Bible on the side. Second, stand boldly against any messenger or any message that doesn't pass the spiritual test. Our world is filled with false teachers, so don't you be fooled. Don't you be fooled. Finally, know beyond any shadow of a doubt that God's Holy Spirit lives within you, and he compels you to strive for obedience to God's word and to the achievement of greater things for the cause of Christ. He compels you. He helps push us forward into doing greater things for the Lord. Amen? Oh, somebody ought to shout right about there. Amen? You are empowered to think greater, to speak greater, and most importantly, to live greater. Why? Because it's all made possible because he is greater. God bless you, Antioch. May the peace of the Lord be always with you.